The book of Psalms is the song book of the Bible. It's the place of liturgy. It was poems that were written to be sung as part of acts of worship. Contained within these songs are not only beautiful poetic phrases, but also powerful theological truth. And so for the next several Sundays, we're going to look at some of the Psalms, not just as guides to worship, but as insights about the character of God. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for giving us this treasure of the Scripture, and in particular, the Psalms. Thank you for all of those ways that our hearts connect to yours, particularly through music, and the fact that people have found music as a way of entering into your gates and into your courts for thousands of years. And we ask, God, that you would teach us through these poems and this particular poem this morning. Open us up to receive your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Human beings long to rise. All of us want to rise, to be lifted up, to ascend. These are words that speak to us of life, life lived in abundance. Nobody wants to be down. We use those words of orientation to talk about the different movements of our spirits. To be up, to rise, to be lifted is to be in that place of joy, to be in a place of life and health. To be down or to be downcast, to be left behind are the places we don't want to be. And when we are in those places, what we long for is to rise. We use this language all of the time, to go up or to be up or to do better or to rise, to go up or to fall down or to be left behind. What do we do when we punish our children? We ground them, right? And you know, nobody wants to be grounded. Everybody wants to be lifted. Everybody wants to rise. Psalm 24 is a psalm of entrance into worship. It is a psalm about rising. In biblical parlance, the connection or the intersection between the creature and the Creator is a place of extraordinary power and energy and movement. That is where people rise when they identify and recognize the voice of the one who created them and loves them. You know, there are three ways that birds fly. Number one, they flap. Flapping birds can only go so far and they run out of energy. They can glide, and that's good for short distances. But then there are the great birds who soar. Soaring comes when the motion of flight intersects the upward surge of air streams. And suddenly, these creatures go hundreds and hundreds of feet in the air. They can stay in the air for hours and hours and hours, circling and soaring without ever batting a wing. That is the movement of our human spirit that we long for. We want to soar. We want to rise, and it happens when our human experience intersects the divine purpose and presence in the world. Psalm 24 is about that place of intersection. That is the sense of this fantastic and beautiful psalm. It is a psalm about rising. It is a psalm about the intersection between the human and the Creator. Psalm 24, I'll just put the verses up and we can follow along here, kind of neatly falls into three sections. The first section is a reminder of the greatness of God, that God is the creator of all. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. The entire world, everything belongs to God. The God of Scripture, the God that we worship, isn't a God who gets compartmentalized. For some people, God is sort of the God of church or God of Sunday, but out in the world, it's a free-for-all, a dog-eat-dog, or somebody else is in charge out there, but not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, God is the God of the heavens, of the earth, and of all that is in it. Everything that exists owes its existence to God and is called to return back to God. That's how the psalm grounds us and reminds us of who God is and the essential character of God. And now it talks about who and how do we enter into the presence of this God, and how does he come and find us? The next section of the psalm, these next several verses, talk about those who would come into his presence, those who desire to rise. Now, the imagery here of Psalm 24, and most people believe this was written for the occasion of the bringing of the Ark of the Covenant into the temple in Jerusalem at the time of King Solomon. That's the purpose of this. And it was a huge celebration. Pilgrims from all over the world, having heard of the completion of the temple, came for this moment of celebration in which the Ark of the Covenant was being processed into the temple. Now, the city of Jerusalem is at a much higher elevation than the rest of the country of Israel. So people coming from all directions are actually rising, are hiking upwards, and suddenly they see the outline of the city gates, probably most of them peasants who'd only lived in small towns, and just kind of the awe-inspiring view of this magnificent city. And behind the gate of the city rises the temple in all of its magnificence. And the priests are outside holding on the wooden poles, the Ark of the Covenant, this box that was symbolic of God's presence with his people. It led them into battle. Whenever people saw the Ark, their spirits would soar because they would be reminded that God's power and presence was contained in that box where they kept the tablets of the Ten Commandments. It was a symbol of God with the people. And now they've built an even bigger box, the temple, which is on the same proportions as the Ark Covenant box, and now they're going to bring that in. So now God is going to take up residence in this building. And the people are ascending, coming up the slopes of Mount Zion, up to the raised city of Jerusalem. And the question is, who gets to come in? Who comes in to the presence of God to stand in this holy, awesome place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts. This is not about ritual. This is about morality. This is about ethics. This is about a way of life. In the New Testament, it says, before we come to the table of communion, we should examine our hearts, take a hard look at ourselves. Because the fact of the matter is, for some people, rising has to do with the pursuit of some other God. We rise in response to or in pursuit of some other idol that we have put ahead of God in our lives. Rising has to do with the pursuit of an idol. The scripture says, those who are going to enter into this place have not lifted their souls to some other idol, have not pursued something else as a source of our joy and our contentment. Some of you remember the singer-songwriter Jackson Browne. Back in the 70s, he wrote just a huge number of incredible songs. Jackson Browne spent much of his life dealing with a battery of addictions, primarily to cocaine, but to other substances. And he wrote one song on the album called The Pretender, called Your Bright Baby Blues. And in that song, there is an extraordinary lyric. He said, a friend of mine said, close your eyes and try a few of these being some kind of substance, some kind of drug. He said, I thought I was soaring like a bird, so far up above my troubles. But when I looked down, I was standing on my knees. I need someone to help me. Someone to help me, please. His insight is extraordinary. When we turn to an idol, and that idol may be a substance that gives us a temporary fix. It may be a form of entertainment, time in front of the screen, video games, some superficial sexual pursuit or romantic interest, pursuing some other business deal that gives us that temporary satisfaction of having made it. Those things maybe lift us, but it's like flapping your wings. It doesn't last. Or maybe we glide for a while, but we crash down. And sometimes the crash coming off of those highs leaves us lower than when we started. The Bible says when we have an idol in our lives, when we are looking to something of this world to satisfy us and fill us and help us to rise and to soar, it invariably and inevitably leaves us down and lets us down. No, the Bible says when we don't lift our souls or expect our souls to be lifted by something else, and we allow that part of ourselves, which hears the voice of God and connects to God, to lift us, that's when we soar. And so the psalm reminds us, those who are going to enter into the presence of God are people who are not pursuing some other God in their lives, but who are looking for a life-giving relationship with the one true God who satisfies us and helps us to soar, to catch the upswell of the Holy Spirit of God moving and swirling in our lives, giving us a perspective that transcends the ups and downs of this world of ours. We long to rise. Worship is that place of intersection. Worship is where you and I hear the voice of God and something inside of us stirs and we begin to rise. And you have to watch out because this can be a little bit dangerous. One of my favorite stories of worship here at APC happened a few years ago. Our own sister, who newly elected elder, Ann Diebel, had come to worship that morning and had a particularly moving encounter with the Holy Spirit. Her soul was soaring. And she got in her car to drive back to her home in Cream Ridge, and she was praising God at the top of her lungs, and she was singing out because the God of Jacob, who she was seeking after, met her in this very place. And she pulled in her driveway and looked in the rearview mirror, and there were the lights of a policeman following her all the way from Allentown. And she rolls down her window, and he said, "Ma'am, you were speeding." And she says, "Officer, I am so sorry. I was caught up in the reverie of worship at the Allentown Presbyterian Church." And he let her go. So you got to be careful when you start to enter into that place of holiness, because it does change our perspective, and it gives us a different way of looking at the world. So it talks about those of us who will enter into the presence, the movement of the creature into the presence of the Creator. But then it shifts, and the last part of the psalm moves us to the entrance of the Creator into His creation. God, symbolized by the ark, is now moving up the steps of the temple. And the congregation who is gathered around, having been challenged to look at their own hearts, says, "Wait a minute, we need to get ready. Lift up your heads, gates of Jerusalem. Lift up your face, doors of the temple. Get ready because someone is coming in. O ancient doors and O gates, the King of glory may come in. And then it enters into an antiphonal call and response. The people say, who is the King of glory? And the people at the gates of the temple say, the Lord. He is the King of glory. Let's try that. You guys can do this. Okay, you guys are the people wondering, who is the King of glory? Lord is King of glory. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O mighty gates. Who is the King of glory? The Lord. He is the King of glory. He is the King of glory. So it's this call and response that is happening in the moment of liturgy. Who is the King of glory? The Lord. Who is the King of glory? The Lord. Who is? And it's a teaching moment for the people as the ark is being brought into the temple, and the people rejoice as their spirits and lives intersect the power and the presence of God coming into the temple in Jerusalem. That's what this psalm is about. And it is an extraordinary liturgical piece. The rabbis said that certain psalms were to be sung on certain days. Psalm 24 is to be sung on the first day of the week. This is what sets you up for the rest of the week. This is a psalm of worship and praise, reminding us of the greatness of God who wants to find his way into our lives so that you and I can soar. The first day of the week for the people of Israel was Sunday. Saturday was the Sabbath, and Sunday was the first day of the week. It was a Sunday when an itinerant rabbi from the northern part of the country, having made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, sat down on a donkey and found his way in. Jesus enters in to Jerusalem through the gates, having come down from the Mount of Olives, through the Kidron Valley, and up, and he ascends. And as he comes, the crowds begin to cheer. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Who is the King of glory? And the crowd says, Jesus. He is the King. Who is the King of glory? Jesus. Wasn't the ark of God entering into the temple courts? It was God himself made flesh. Psalm 24 is a psalm of entrance of Christ. And for those of us today who have come to know the power of God made possible through Jesus that allows us to soar, the temple is no longer a building in Jerusalem. The ark no longer exists. But the New Testament says that the temple of God is your body. Your body is the place where God longs to reside. It is the place in which our lives and Christ's lives intersect. The King of glory wants to take up residence in your heart. And when he does, he brings his cleansing, symbolized in our baptism. The clean hands and the pure heart that is a prerequisite for soaring with God happens when we lift up our heads and welcome the King of glory into our lives. And it's at that moment of intersection, friend, that you and I rise, that we are lifted. And the problems and the concerns and the brokenness brought upon us by the idols that we have pursued no longer have their power. Lift up your heads, each and every one of us, so the King of glory may come in. And when he does, friends, you and I will rise. Lord, thank you so much for this great psalm that teaches us so much and reminds us so much about who you are and our need for you. Help us, God, to rise up in response to your voice and to soar in reverie with you. Amen.